That's good. That's good. All right, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to take them and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Bereshit, Hebrew, first word, first book in the Bible, in the beginning. If you opened up a Hebrew Bible and read the title to it, it would say, in the beginning. In the beginning, the beginning. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The divine text says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Father, in thy name, add your blessing to your word. Let thy sweet Holy Spirit come into this house this morning. In the name of Jesus, I bind every devil of hell right now. I bind you. And in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood against you. It's not me against you, Satan. It is the blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be saved. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. The Bible is a marvelous book. In the beginning, the first book of the Bible, and the book of Revelation literally means into the future, the unveiling of what lies ahead. So the book of Genesis is a book that tells us what God did in the beginning. I want to call your attention to the verse number 1 where it said, in the beginning, God. And I want you to notice that this morning, that it's so important to understand that in the beginning, God was. He said to Moses, I am that I am. He's the ever-existing, self-existing, almighty, eternal being that has no beginning and he has no end. Time starts, time ends. He declares in the book of Revelation that time will be no more, but eternity will swallow up time. For time has a beginning day and time has an ending day. But Almighty God has no start and no beginning. If you notice in verse number 1, the scripture says, in the beginning God. You can take that in the beginning and apply it to creation. You can take that in the beginning and apply it to mankind. You can take that in the beginning and apply it to the beginning of sin. You can take that in the beginning and apply it to the beginning of salvation. You can take that in the beginning and apply it to the beginning of the mind of Almighty God before He ever made anything, that He had already settled salvation and His eternal purpose. He makes no mistakes. He's never come short. He's never had a thought. He's never reacted to anything. Known unto God are all of His works from everlasting past into everlasting future. You're not an accident. You didn't just pop up one day and wander around on the earth and then find God. You're here today because He drew you here. You're here today because He spoke to you. You're here today because a ray of light showed into your darkness. You say, I'm here because Mom and Dad brought me. There's more to your life than Mom and Dad. There's more to your life than your wife or your husband. There's more to your life than your children. A lot of you don't even know how to live. You spend your life wallowing around in darkness and self-pity and don't have a clue what it is to come alive. In the beginning, God, He's the beginner. He's the starter. He's the creator. And all things originated from Him. I preach a God that is almighty, that knows all things, because that's the one I believe in this morning. I want you to notice it says in verse number 2 that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'm going to call your attention this morning. The fact that Almighty God, when He begins to move, when He begins to do something, when power issues forth from His presence, it is always by the Spirit of the living God. He teaches us that in the very first book of the Bible, all the way through the book of Revelation. It is the Spirit of God as He begins to do exactly what He intends to do. His arm is not slack. He cannot be stopped in His purpose. He will accomplish what He intends to accomplish. And the Bible said He moved upon the waters. Beneath Him lay chaos Underneath this eternal being was darkness. He was a creation that was in turmoil. And there's only one that can straighten out what had befallen those beneath him. And the Bible said his spirit moved upon the face of the waters. That's how he found me. I was in turmoil and I was lost without God, walking in darkness, ignorant in my own unbelief. And his spirit moved upon my soul. I'm here in this house this morning because a day somewhere in the past, the Spirit of God came upon me. I can't take any pleasure. I can't take any credit for anything. He came to me when I needed him in my worst hour. The Bible said that his spirit moved upon the face of the water. That word moved in Hebrew literally means brooded. He was above the water. He was looking down upon the water and the chaos beneath him, and he was brooding over what he was intending to do. Everything God does, he has a purpose in it. There's a reason for all things that issue forth from the hand of Almighty God. He is not the creator of chaos. The Bible says plainly that this is not of God. But when he brooded upon the face of the water, it reminds me of how on that night there in Egypt, when Israel had been there for 400 years, the Bible says that his angel passed over. He literally brooded over the houses of those that he was about to save. It is as if God pays attention, special attention, to the things that we don't pay much attention to at all, that we just pass off as daily life. Decisions that we make in our life that will have a profound effect on us a week, a month, a year, 2 years from now. Seemingly we just walk into it headstrong like a bull in a china closet, but the Spirit of God broods. He moves about. He weighs everything and looks at all the angles. That's Almighty God. Over here, when our parents had sinned against God, the Bible said he made a declaration, and lest they put forth their hand and take of the fruit and eat and live forever. And there's a colon after that. The sentence is not completed. It is a statement. It is an observation. It is God saying that the consequences are too horrible to even consider. And so he put a cherubim with a flaming sword to keep the way to the tree of life. And that is the mind of God. The mind of God is the one that comes to you in your darkest hour, when everybody else has forsaken you and turned on you. And he broods over you. He hovers about you. He moves in your life. He touches you where you need to be touched, and he does it by his Spirit. When the Spirit of God touches a man, he awakens a part of a man that has been dead to that point. A man that is lost without God is as dead spiritually and dead to spiritual things as if you were lying cold in a casket. You don't have a clue. But the moment the Spirit of God begins to move upon your soul, he awakens something inside you that makes you begin to realize there's a whole lot more to you than what you ever considered up until that point. The Spirit is the high part. It's the living part. It's that essence that rises above physical creation. And when the Spirit of God hovers upon a man, that man will never be the same again. Oh God, let your Holy Ghost move in this house today. I find him in salvation. The Spirit of God moved throughout Egypt that night, and when he moved in Egypt that night, he was about to save. His mighty arm was extended so that they could be saved from the judgment that was about to come. How did he do it, preacher? He did it by his Spirit. Every time God begins to move in power, he does by his Spirit. It is that spiritual power of God that is the manifestation of the power of Almighty God. And so he moved. And in the land of Egypt that night they wept. In the land of Egypt that night they died. In the land of Egypt that night they were in total shock because of the death angel as he passed through the land of Egypt. But the house where the Spirit of God had brooded, where it moved upon, where it stayed, he saw blood. And when he saw the blood, he passed over that house, and they were secure and safe from the hand of the death angel. God sees things in a different way than you do. He places value in places you don't place value in. He places value in places that you're not even aware of, that it even exists. Almighty God must awaken you. He must turn on the lights for you. He must speak to you. He must draw you. He must make himself known to you. Oh, you'll never know him. He, my friend, moves in power. This Bible says of itself, he says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You may not think the Bible has any value whatsoever, but inspiration of Scripture is a foundation of the Christian doctrine. I believe that every word in that book is God-breathed. I believe the Spirit of God moved upon men. And when he did, being fallible men, they were capable of writing infallibly. The words that they wrote down now were the inspired Word of God. And did they ever give us a legacy? They handed to you a book that will open the gate of heaven. They handed to you a book that will tell you about God. They gave you a book that will reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to you. The Holy Bible is a God-breathed book. If it's not God-breathed, burn it. And don't waste your time with religion. But that book has proven itself true to me time and time and time again. I believe that blessed book. I believe that book. That book is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. That Bible teaches me that when God begins to move in power, he moves by his Spirit. There was a man 2,000 years ago that walked out into the Jordan River, and by a man had been baptizing people, and he was clothed in camel's cloth, and my friend, he was eating locust and wild honey. He was a wild man concerning, according to the men, the religion of Jerusalem. But this man, my friend, was anointed of God. Even from his birth, he leapt when he heard of the birth of Christ. This was John the Baptizer. He was John the Baptist. And when this man walked out into the Jordan River to be baptized of John, John was about to meet the one who, my friend, had put him on this earth. He was about to meet the one who had made him. He was about to meet the one that had breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He was about to meet the one who would wash his sins away. He was about to meet the one that would save him. And yet he had been given the privilege of baptizing the Son of the living God. Jesus said, John, be it so to fulfill all righteousness. And he took that blessed head and he moved him down under the waters of the Jordan River. And the word Jordan means descender, and it's a picture of death. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was taken by John the Baptist, and he was placed under the water of the Jordan River, and the Jordan flowed across the top of his head on down to the Dead Sea. He was becoming the representative man. He was taking the place of man before God. And my friend, when he brought him up out of that water, it ran off of his face and off of his beard. And now the anointed one was about to receive a voice from heaven, for the Holy Ghost came down. God was about to act in power. He was about to do something in power. And the Holy Ghost came down and spoke upon his head, "This is my beloved Son." Heaven opened and a voice thundered forth, "This is my beloved Son. This one that you have in the Jordan River, John, the one that you just baptized, he's my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Ghost anointed him that day. Not even the blessed Son of God, not even the perfect Son of God, not even the sinless Son of Man, not even this God-man who'd never had a bad thought in his life, who was sinless and perfect, not even he would step forth to do the work of the Lord without that power from on high, without that anointing, without that mark of God, without sealing, without that voice in his soul. The Holy Spirit of God came down alone, and I can't explain to you how, but in power like he had never touched another, he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, the Bible says, in the book of Acts, and he did that day. My friend, on that day, that warm oil from the horn was poured down upon his head. It ran down his beard. It went all the way down to the hem of his garment. Amen. And it dripped off from there, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The Lord Jesus Christ was the anointed of God. It was there that he walked out of the Jordan River as the Christ of God, as the anointed of the Lord. And from that day forward, every step he took, every deed he did, every word he spoke, every act he performed, every breath he drew, everything he ever did on the face of this earth, he did it by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. It was that power in his soul. It was in his heart and in his mind. It was that presence of God upon this one born of the virgin's womb. Hallelujah. The God-man was now walking on this earth, and he was walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, that I wish religion could get a hold of that for a moment. If this one that was sinless and perfect had to be anointed of God, what do you think we need if we're going to serve God today and preach his word with all of our heart and our soul? We ought to seek that. And then after his resurrection, and when the disciples were feared, and my friend, they were just disarrayed. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them, and the Bible said he breathed on them. He breathed on them. In John chapter number 20, the Bible said he appeared to them and he breathed on them. He let his very breath go out upon them, and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Oh my, he told the disciples again. He said, "Tarry here in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father." He said, "For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." But my friend, there's two differences. There's a difference between the two occasions, and it's a profound one. Over there in the book of John, chapter number 20, when he came and he breathed on them, it was apostolic succession. It was the hand of the anointed one touching that one who would be receiving that anointing. If you notice, his hand didn't have to touch them. All he had to do was breathe on them. He said, "I want you to receive the same spirit that's lived with me. I want you to have the same power that I've had. I want you to have the same inspiration that's been upon my soul. I want the same God that anointed me to anoint you." And he breathed on them. How many of them received that? I don't know. How many of them received it in its fullness? The Bible doesn't say. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend. There's no greater privileged position on the face of this earth than to have been there that day in that room when the risen Lord God Almighty had breathed on them. I want that breath. I want that on my soul. I want that power. I want that resurrected power. I want that Holy Ghost like he's talking about in John chapter number 20. Somebody said, "You got the Holy Ghost when you got saved." Did Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit before he ever walked into the Jordan River? Was he not begotten of the Spirit of God? Does not the Bible say that holy thing that is in you is of the Spirit of God? From day one he took his first breath when he was born of the virgin's womb. The Lord Jesus Christ had the Holy Ghost. Don't hand me that stuff. He had the Holy Spirit all the way to the Jordan. But it was at the Jordan that heaven opened and the power of God came down upon his son. It was there that God Almighty poured upon him that power, that anointing, that calling, that unction that we gotta have. If we don't have it, my friend, we try in the arm of the flesh to please God. And you can no more please him in the arm of the flesh than you can get saved by the power of the flesh. It takes the Holy Ghost. I like that. Children of the dust out among the stars. My friend, I don't know how high that he's going to lift us, but I know, my friend, it's as high as, my friend, an angel of God
from a dunghill. One day he'll carry us into his very presence. And while we're here on this earth, which is just for a short time, it's just a span, it's just a heartbeat, it's just one breath after another. I know what I'm talking about. I've lived long enough to see an awful lot of people live and die. I've carried their God bodies to the graveyard. I've watched death. I've seen death. I've lived with death. I want life. Hallelujah to God. He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. If you look at the context of John 20 and the context of Acts 2, you'll find the context of John chapter number 20 is infinitely higher than the context of Acts 2. How many of you have a clue what I'm talking about? In the book of John chapter number 20, he's talking about men and sin and their relationship with God. And talking about how that you have been placed into a position of intermediacy. But in the book of Acts chapter number 2, it was receiving the power from on high that you might be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and Jerusalem and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. You can always tell which one a man has if all he thinks about is what he can do. My friend, that's okay. That's good. Do something for God. But my friend, there's something a whole lot closer, something a whole lot deeper, something that draws the hearts of men. It draws them like nothing else does. It's that anointing of John chapter number 20. He breathed on them, and then he told them what they could do to men, what they could do to men and for men and stand for men. He said something to them in John 20 that boggles the mind. Oh God, you know something? We live in the age of the Spirit of the living God. You expect him to do by the flesh, by a physical thing, by some flim flam waving arms and voices and junk like that. Listen. Listen. He said, I have received the Holy Ghost. As you have received the Holy Ghost, so walk ye in him. As you have received the Spirit of God, so walk ye in him. We hardly hear anything about being filled, about humbling ourselves and hungering for the power from on high. The church dried up and dead and replaced it with programs and replaced it with rock and rap music. And the reason it does is because it's bankrupt when it comes to spiritual things. God, pour your Holy Ghost out upon this preacher and do it every day of my life. Let me feel the warm anointing oil of the presence of Almighty God coming down on my soul every day that I live, so that I might think like, talk like, act like, walk like, be like the Lord Jesus Christ. For without that oil of unction, oil of anointing, my friend, you're working against and with the flesh, and it'll produce nothing but death. I urge you this morning, in the name of Jesus, to say this simple prayer to him. Jesus, I know I'm saved. If you do, you know. If you do know, you are. I know I'm born again. If you really know, you are. But Lord Jesus, what's that preacher talking about? Is there a power and an unction and a filling of the Holy Ghost that I don't know anything about? Don't ask me. Ask him. I challenge you. I dare you. I dare you to get alone with him and ask him if there is an unction, a power, a filling, and a presence of the Holy Ghost that you don't know anything about. I dare you. Do it. And for those of you in this house this morning, you may think, style yourself an atheist or an agnostic. Say, there ain't no God. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you ask him to show himself to you? Well, what's the use, preacher? It's a waste of time. Is it really? Would you give me some proof there's no God? Boy, preacher, you give me some proof there is. You? This? These children? Air I breathe? World I live in? Creation I observe? Soul that got saved? I once was a dog. Now I'm saved. I was a junkyard dog. Now I'm born again. You may not know it, believe it, but I know what I used to be. I don't know what I am now. By the grace of God. You say there's no God? I challenge you. I challenge you. All right, God, if you're up there, make yourself known to me. Let me know how it comes out. Father, in thy name we pray. Put in the hearts of my brothers and my sisters this morning, Lord, to receive that breathing, that special personal breathing. That breathing was for his church. That's for us. That passes down from generation to generation. Let them receive that breathing, that unction, that power. Oh, God. I didn't preach to them this morning, Lord, about what that power's for. I just mentioned it in passing. But there's a reason for that power. God, we pray. Lord, pour your Holy Ghost on this preacher. Pour your Spirit upon my soul. I know, Holy One, there's so much more of you and so much more of the Spirit than what we're taught in the average church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand up and sing. Come and ask him. Say, preacher, give me unction from on high. Oh boy. Won't you come? Won't you come? Power from on high, Lord. My Christian life is a wreck. I need power, Lord. My faith is faltering. I need power. Got sick people around me I love. I need power. The devil's sifting me like wheat. I need power. I need power. Power. Brother Yarbrough came out of the choir a minute ago. As he came out of the choir, he took me by the hand and he started praying with me. He said, God, pour your Holy Ghost out on him. Bless him. Give him unction this morning. Now, if you were a religious, full of yourself, proud Pharisee, you might have been taken aback and offended by that. But when he started praying with me, I pulled him closer to me. And I squeezed his hand and said, pray on, son. Pray on. Pray on. God laid it on his heart to pray with me like that. You pray on. Amen. Pray on. I want to hear it. I need the touch of God. Say another verse, brother. Won't you come? Do you want somebody to take you by the hand, put the hand on you and pray for you and pray with you, that the Holy Ghost will settle down on your soul and anoint you and give you unction, and that you'll come up out of that ditch of doubt and unbelief and defeat that you're in right now? You can't pull yourself up out of it. Just like you can't save yourself to begin with. But if you want somebody to pray with you, there's somebody here that'll pray with you. Would you do it? Anybody? My strength renew my hope.
their spirit and in their soul. Give them unction right now. Touch them with the power of the Holy Ghost. God, grant this day. You said, how much more shall you give the Holy Spirit to them that ask you, Lord? God, we pray, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. And I know you can do it, Lord. And I know something's going to happen. I'm saying it for the
strength in this small child.
I may get run out of the Baptist church before it's over, but that's okay. I'll have the Almighty to put his hand on me on that back porch. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me.
Or the United States of America. Governments come and governments go. Your children belong to the Lord. That's who they belong to. And he has lent this little girl right here to them for safekeeping and to parent and to raise in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's exactly what Mary did on the eighth day when she brought the Lord Jesus Christ into the temple. The Bible says she brought him to present him to the Lord. Give him back to the one who gave him to them. Well, let's pray this morning. My Heavenly Father, touch Olivia. We commend her to thee in the name of Jesus right now. Heavenly Father, she's yours now, and I want her to be yours forever. God, I pray for her mother and for her father. I pray that you would make them good parents. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God right now would come into them. I pray that he would fill them. I pray that he would give them wisdom. In the name of Jesus, build a hedge about them. And our Heavenly Father, give them the wisdom, the wisdom, the wisdom to see and know the devil and to know his tactics and how he's coming after their daughter. And then give them wisdom to deal with him in the name of Jesus. And for Jesus' sake, we give you Olivia this morning, Holy One. You love her. Now bless your name. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Precious, precious, precious. Little children.
Man wants to be anointed with oil this morning, folks. I've been to churches that said, well, that's only symbolical. We don't have to do it today. It's amazing to me at how people pick and choose out of the New Testament. The Scripture says if there's any sick and lonely, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This brother has an ear that he says that he hasn't been able to hear out of now for 4 months. I cannot heal him. I am not a healer. There are no healers in this house.
Amen.
But the one that I believe in this morning can heal him. I'm going to anoint him in the name of the Lord. And he's going to be anointed with the same Holy Spirit that anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's only one Holy Ghost. And for God to heal him today. My brother, in the name of Jesus, for his glory and in his name, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. This morning, Holy One, let your power come into his body. And in the name of Jesus, my blessed Lord God, take this affliction from his ear. Don't know what it is, don't need to know, but you know, Lord. And I pray that you'd raise him up right now and be glorified in him. Do it any way you want to, whatever you want to do, in your name, for you to be glorified. In Jesus' name, you said it by your stripes we're healed. And I believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Let's stand up and sing Amazing Grace. I just can't go. I see so many folks that come in here and they don't know what to do, don't know what to think. They don't. They're not being mean or anything. They just come in here beat to death. And they just, you know, it's sometimes they come in here at the end of their rope. And they're looking for help. They're looking for somebody that's willing to listen to them, cares for them. Most churches you go into, the only thing they see is your wallet. And all you hear out of that church is money, 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 money. You come to Temple Baptist Church in a year and listen to the messages that I preach from this pulpit in a year. You might hear me mention money once or twice out of a whole year. Yet this church gives. It's amazing at how this church gives. It's unbelievable at how this church gives. It's remarkable at how this church... Do you know why? It comes down to the bottom line. If they love the Lord, if they love the Lord, they'll give to the Lord. And that's that simple. We're not about money. We're not making it about money. So if you're in this church today and you're looking for a place where somebody, where the Lord will accept you, if you got a dollar bill or nothing in your pocket, you came to the right place. You may be out of a job right now. You may have been laid off and can't find a job. You've hunted now for weeks and you can't get a job. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to Him. Ask Him. Put it before Him. He's able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think. I can't. I'm just the preacher. I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm done. When I'm done, I'm done. That's all I am. It's the Lord that I preach that's able to do it. Let's sing Amazing Grace, brother. How sweet the sound that saved a low-down dog like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Come on, if you need it. You need God's hand on your soul. Come on. I was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. Man, I was lost, dead, blind, everything. 'Twas grace that taught me. Many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come, and a bunch of them, folks. We've been there 10,000 years. When you ask of Him, believe that you're going to receive what you've asked of Him. The element of faith comes from Him. You receive the light He gives you, He'll give you more light. You receive the truth He gives you, He gives you more truth. You don't reject Him outright, but at least you're interested enough to listen to Him. He'll talk to you. And if you need help from Him and don't reject the way He begins to send the help, He'll send more help. He'll do it. Would you receive it from Him? Can you receive? Oh God, this old boy right here is like a dry sponge. Lord, pour Your Holy Ghost out on my soul, because I know that power. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. I know it. And it cannot be counterfeited. It's only from Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you before you leave today.
Brother Jeff Yates was our choir leader for quite a while. A lot of you have been asking what's happened, Brother Yates. He came to me a few days ago and told me it felt like the Lord's leading him somewhere else. He had reason to go. I said, well, if that's where the Lord wants you to go, wish you the best. Pray for you. Took his family with him. I ask you to do the same. Pray for him. And he said he had nothing with anybody here in the church. Nothing like that. Had nothing to do with anything like that. So there's no anything of that nature going on. He just simply felt like God was wanting him somewhere else, wanted to move him on. I said, well, I'm here preaching the truth, and may God bless you where you go and take your family with you, and may the good Lord watch over you and take care of you and keep you safe. That's all there is to it. That's it. And so I just want you all to know that, because I'm sure a lot of you are wondering what's happened to him. And we're praying right now for God to give us choir leader. God to replace him, because he was faithful and did a good job while he was here. And did a lot of hard work. And man, I know I appreciate the work that was put into it. It's not the kind of thing that you just take for granted. It takes work, it takes effort. Nothing just happens. It takes effort. And so I'm thankful for that. But I thought it was necessary this morning to let you all know, because you need to know that. And this is exactly how it happened. God's my witness. I stand before him in judgment right now. God's my witness. He came to me, said he needed to go on. God moved him on. Okay. God bless you. All right. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll let you go. And we'll meet again this evening, 6 o'clock, for the evening service. And hopefully we won't make it back this evening. I hope we're not here. You say, what in the world, preacher? You know what I'm talking about. I hope we don't make it back. I hope we're gone before the 6 o'clock hour rolls around. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll let you go. Yes, sir.
We got awful good news right now.
Got a what now? Oh, I know. He's got a good voice. You know, it always happens like this, though. He can play that violin like a virtuoso. Is that what you call it? So you're between a rock and a hard place. I'd love to hear him play the violin, but he can do a good job leading the singing, too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they won't put any thoughts in anybody's mind, so we'll just let it go with that. Just pray about it. Brother Gene Lawson, will you dismiss us, please?